Welcome to Gatoraders. I'm Will Smith.
And I'm Joe Morgan.
Today, we're going to preview the Auburn game on Saturday. Florida Gators are traveling to number 24, Auburn.
War Eagle.
yeah, and it's looking like a battle of the teams without good quarterbacks. Florida will not name their starter until Saturday. Brantley's still out with a sprained ankle. We're kind of hoping that Brissett will make the start. Driscoll kind of has a sprained ankle too, but he's also kind of shown that he's not as comfortable in the pocket as Brissett was against LSU when he was playing Alabama. Auburn is starting their junior quarterback Barrett Trotter, who had a subpar performance against Arkansas. He's really not the one the fans wanted to start, but he's the one that Gene Chizik is going with. He feels that he has more experience and talent. But we will see who has the good game. Auburn does not have as good a defense as Alabama or LSU, so Florida should finally be able to score some points. But we'll certainly see how that pans out. It's really going to come down to who keeps their mistakes down. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I like what I saw from Brissett last week. I mean, he was really calm. Seems like he was able to manage the poorly thought out offensive game plan. Shot at Charlie Weiss right there. But I like what I see from Brissett. I think he's a good athletic quarterback. Not that Driscoll isn't. I'd just rather take a fully healthy Brissett, who has looked more impressive to me personally than a mistake prone, slightly injured Jeff Driscoll, especially in a road environment.
Certainly. Well, Florida's looking to avoid their third straight loss in a row, especially in the SEC play. So this is pretty important for when it comes down to whether or not Florida will win the East. Predictions for the game, I'm thinking Florida still pulls this one out. What am I going to say, 28-25.
Yeah, I mean, when you come down to this game, it's basically, are you going to have a repeat of last season or not? I mean, if Florida loses again, that's three straight losses just like last year. So big game for mental toughness. I know that's kind of a cop-out in terms of people who don't really know what they're talking about, but really it is. I mean, when you go against Alabama and LSU, Florida was really pushed around. Defense looked soft. I mean, let's face it, you know, Florida recruits just as good as athletes as LSU and Alabama do. But, you know, it's just, excuse me, I lost my train of thought there. You know, it's just Florida's going to have to prove if they're tough enough, if they've actually improved from last season to this season, and that's going to come down to Saturday. I'm going to go and go with Auburn here, based simply off Florida just doesn't really play well against Auburn historically, and the road environment, I think Florida's going to fall in this one 27-17, I think.
All right, well, in other news, Dee Finley has been announced that he is transferring from the University of Florida. How about you give that quick story?
Oh, okay, well, I'm on Twitter the other night, and I follow Alligator Army, and it's one of the Florida Gator blogs in SB Nation. And they were replying to somebody named Daniel Thompson who had tweeted, confirmed Dee Finley transferring from Florida. And we're like, okay. So I follow this guy and I direct message him. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he said, well, I'm a close personal friend of Dee's. So, and he told me today. And I was like, yeah, right. Well, it turns out that they are probably personal friends because... You know, the next day, Muschamp confirmed it. So, yeah, kudos to Daniel Thompson for reporting that story. Yeah, so I guess we tend all to be a little bit skeptical nowadays with people like that. But, you know, Daniel is shooting straight, so kudos.
Well, we certainly don't have to worry too much about this transfer. Dee Finley wasn't exactly the most productive member on the team. He recorded 12 tackles in his career, only, what is it, 4 of them coming this season?
Yeah, 2 against Kentucky in that huge momentum swinging game. So,
yeah, if he didn't tackle those Kentucky players, you know, they might have, you know, come back against that 21-0 early lead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with Dee Finley, it's disappointing because he came in as a highly touted safety and seemingly had a bright future ahead of him, but you know, apparently not.
That really broke down his potential when he injured his collarbone against LSU last season, mm-hmm. and he missed those last 7 games, because that's when he was really starting to show his promise.
Mm-hmm.
But that really impacted his career. This year he started behind Jelani Jenkins, so you know, we wish him luck, but you know,
gotta kick out the ones that don't work.
I suppose we can also mention Rainey really, really quickly.
Oh, yeah. Chris Rainey. Always a character. Always has something fun to say.
This guy talks about, you know, okay, he plays Alabama, pretty much doesn't get, you know, like a yard all game. And
yeah, I think he slept for more hours last night than Demson Rainey had rushing yards in that game.
And, you know, he goes to LSU, has another really bad game, plays a little bit better than against Alabama, but still has a pretty bad game, comes back after the LSU game and says, we was better than them. I mean, not only is he incorrect in his grammar, but how can he possibly think he's better than two teams that actually absolutely just destroyed Florida on the field?
All right, well, humanity is on a certain plane. All right, majority of us operate on a certain, like, line of thought. And then there's your crazy people. Chris Rainey is one of those crazy people. He's going to believe what he thinks. And, you know, I mean,
I believe that's called an ego. You know, those things where if you think it hard enough, you actually believe it.
Well, you know, maybe we need some cockiness with this team. I mean, they've got punched in the mouth two games in a row. Maybe they need some swagger, albeit dumb swagger, but... You know what I mean? Lil Wayne raps one time, my swagger is so stupid something. So, I mean, I guess stupid swagger is something that Florida might need.
I mean, I guess it counts for something on the field, but I just hope Will Muschamp doesn't let him speak again.
Oh, no, no. We want Rainey to continue speaking to the media. It's always fun. Because, I mean, when John Brantley goes up there, it's just hard not to fall asleep. But when Rainey's up there, he's moving from side to side. You know, he's saying crazy stuff like that. So, I mean, heck. Chris Rainey, just this should mic him up during the games too. You know, I think that'd be a good time.
Yeah, him and Will Muschamp both mic'd up.
Oh, boom.
All right, well,
a boom mic. We need like a rim shot audio. So.
All right, well, our last piece of news is Tim Tebow. As I'm sure everyone has heard, is he's going to start for the Denver Broncos against the Miami Dolphins after this week's bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is actually that the Miami Dolphins are holding a University of Florida championship team reunion that day. And
well, yeah, I mean, Mike Pouncey, Tim Tebow.
Not only does it not make sense because this is in Miami and they're honoring the University of Florida, but, like, they're doing it the day Tebow starts.
Well, it's a reunion. I mean, I'm surprised the Steelers aren't coming to town, too. Marquise getting on that, and the Vikings, Percy Harvin.
Well, neither Marquise
Raiders,
twin.
Lewis Murphy.
Well, neither Maurice Pouncey or...
Marquise.
Or, no. Marquise on Dolphins, Maurice on Steelers?
No, Mike on... No. Marquise on Steelers, Mike on Dolphins.
Right.
But I guess Mike could just hold a big mirror.
Right. Well, Mike Pouncey nor Tebow will be asked to participate in the reunion since they'll be playing.
Well, that's dumb. Like, who's going to be there? Well, do the Vikings and Steelers both have an off week next year?
I doubt it. Well, I mean, everyone else who's, you know...
This is literally the dumbest PR stunt in the history of the NFL.
Well, I mean, that's what they're doing.
Is Urban Meyer going to be there?
Hey, who knows?
Steve Adazio?
Steve Adazio. Won't he have someone else to be, like Temple?
My Temple Owls.
Yeah, right, man. All right. Well, Tebow certainly showed a spark.
Yeah, Tim Tebow definitely showed a spark against the Chargers. Came in late for Orton. Gave that team, like, a lot of life. And almost led the comeback victory, but I mean, I guess ever since
Elway, it was pretty close, you know.
Ever since Elway left Denver, it's a bunch of almost. So
yeah, well, as long, you know, if Brandon Lloyd had held on to that ball, it would have been, you know,
maybe
a lot better of a game.
2-point conversion attempt gone awry because, well, Brandon Lloyd only has two fingers in each game.
Brandon Lloyd has been kind of disappointing this season, to be honest.
Oh.
You know, he's supposed to be like their best receiver, and he's been solid, but he hasn't been that big one receiver that the Broncos really need.
It's kind of, you know, I mean, it's got to be disheartening playing with Kyle Orton, Brady Quinn, and Tim Tebow. I mean,
I'd
rather be catching passes from, like, Tom Brady or something.
Kyle Orton isn't exactly the most exciting player in the NFL. And, you know, he's not too old, but he's getting kind of old. He's kind of, I think Joe was talking about this earlier, he was saying how he's kind of that quarterback that a team is desperate when they get him, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, case in point, the Miami Dolphins were thinking about getting Kyle Orton because God knows how bad Chad Henne is.
Yeah, Adam Schefter was talking about that on SportsCenter today. I thought that was interesting. But, yeah, Kyle Orton's probably the least exciting 300-yard passer in NFL history. So, There you go.
Certainly. Well, we've all seen Tebow has that potential, not necessarily just because of his athleticism, but how he inspires his players to play harder. Against the Chargers, you could definitely see how they were playing differently in that, you know, that final quarter than when they were with Kyle Orton on the field. Quick quip. Joe is having a debate with Brad Wolf on Fan v Fan.
Yeah, Brad Wolf, the king of sportsblog.com. Your plug, Brad. You're welcome.
He's having that debate, and Joe is defending Tim Tebow, saying that he will and / can be a successful quarterback.
Yeah, but this debate, I didn't even want to do it. I mean, we're on Twitter, and Brad said something kind of harsh about Tebow. I thought it was a little over the top, so, you know, I thought I would, you know, just say something about it, and I just kind of got wrapped up in it now, and it's, you know, just, you ever have those situations where, like, you just get in deep, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just get yourself into something.
I know, like,
man, well, just remember, Joe, respect doesn't win games. Just remember that.
Okay. But votes do win fan bowl matchups, so go vote for me, if you feel so inclined.
Speaking of which, Joe did end up beating me in that debate.
Yes,
so
I crushed Will. I had 2.5 times as many points as he did. So
score 5-2.
2.5.
Joe gets that hat and the shirt from Fan v Fan. So.
Yeah, you know, just, I mean, I need it though. I mean, I'm starving college student. Don't really have much of a
don't have enough clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wearing this same Maurice Jones Drew jersey for 5 days now, so it's time for a change.
All right, well, that's our show. Tune in next week for our next edition. We'll go over the Auburn game and talk about next week's game. We'll bring up any more exciting news we hear, and we'll certainly talk about whether or not Joe wins his debate. Right now, Joe is up 1-0 against Brad Wolf.
Will voted for me.
Dude, you can't talk about that. That's confidential, man.
I did.
All right, well, that's our show. I'm Will Smith.
And I'm Joe Morgan.